chagrohi. That which we say that sapik leket is leket, that if you are misapik, you have to give leket, it's going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Chagra. The Tanya is learned, Gershon is Geyer, a Geyer who converted, and he had grain which was already harvested, Achelonis Geyer prior to his conversion, Potter is exempt from giving pay on it, because obviously it was harvested prior to his conversion. Mishas Geyer, if after he was converted, he harvested his field, Chayev. He has to give pay on it because obviously now he's Jewish and he's chayv and pay. Vim Sufik, if he's not sure whether the harvest occurred before, prior to his conversion or subsequent to his conversion, because he was converting in somewhere other than where his field was located, so in that case, the first Tanakhama says Potter, he's exempt from giving pay. Rabbi Yehuda, Ben, turning the page now, Choftal and Beis, Rabbi Yehuda ben Chagra, Mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda ben Chagra says, you're Chayev to give pay in that case, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Chagra holds, Safik Leket is Leket. When in doubt about Leket, or Shikha, or Peah, you have to give it. Roshem Eloki Shomer, Divra Akoli, no, everybody agrees that that's true in our case, not in the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Chagra. In our case, everybody agrees if you have, let's say, the anthill, which has the all the grain, and we're not sure which grain belongs, to the balabos, to the owner of the field, or to the poor person. So in that case, everybody agrees that Suffolk Leket is Leket, you have to give him whatever in the anthill. Over there, in that case where the ger converted, there it's Machlokas, you know why? But again, where it says Hashem Melokish Omer, Divrei Akoli, by us, everybody agrees. Yisrael Shikar Ochayev, Sosfek Ochayev. Because by us, where he was Yisrael to begin with, and he's chayev definitively in Peah, so then if he's not sure, or leket shechem Peah, if he's not sure if he fulfilled his obligation or not, he's chayev, right? We're machmir him. A goy shikor potter, a goy who are in doubt whether he's chayev altogether, therefore sfeiko is potter, his sofik is potter. There's a general principle which we say in all dinei mamonos. We have a principle which is, says, if you have a case where any odeya impraticha, you don't know if you paid back a loan, then misafik, you have to pay back the loan. If you say any odeya mischayavti, I don't know if I became chayav in the loan altogether, if I have any chiyuv, so misafik, I say I don't have to pay back the loan. Do you see the difference? If I admit that I took out a loan from you, but I don't know if I paid it back or not, in that case I have to pay. If I don't know if I have the very loan I took out, I'm a sipik about that, in that case I don't have to pay. Okay, so this is the same thing. If I know that it's a Jew to begin with, and then the question is whether he gave pay or whether he's chayv and leket shechor pay assets, like any day mi praticha, I don't know if I paid you back or not, I have to therefore give it to you. If it's a case where we don't know if the guy is Jewish altogether, so then it's a case of any day mi chayavti, I don't know if I chayv altogether, perhaps I wasn't a chayv, perhaps I was a goy at the time, in that case, then the guy does not have to give the sapik leket shechor pay.
Is leket shechor pay considered the choshen mishpat?
No. But it's a similar principle to the principle which exists by Choshen Mishpat. I'm drawing the parallel, but you're right, it's not exactly the same. Really, Leket Shechor Peah is a din your day, it's like Hilchot Tzedakah, it's not a din Choshen Mishpat. It just happens to be that in this specific case there is a parallel. Correct.
What about the principle of Sofik Derashat
Chumrah? Well, that generally doesn't apply, although I'm going to contradict myself right now and say that in matters of monetary law, we don't always say Sofik Derashat Chumrah. So yes, on the one hand, this could be considered to be a case of Yerodea, but on the other hand, there are principles of Choshen Mishpat which apply here, such as you're not necessarily Machmir in a Sofik of Sofik of Dinei Mominus. But despite that, we are Machmir. And we'll see why. We're going to bring up Psukim. There are special Psukim which we learn why we're going to be Machmir in Sofik Leket Leket. Okay? Which makes it a Yerodea case, in fact, of Sofik Darais Lechomra. After we have those Psukim, it becomes like a Yerodea case. Okay, it says Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kachiyam meishiv the Ridbaz here as the Girsa Melamed. Kachiyam Melamed Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Chargah. Rabbi Yehuda, this in fact was something which Rabbi Meir taught Rabbi Yehuda ben Chargah. Ena tamoid lishesavik leket leket. Don't you concede to me that savik leket is leket? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Chargah got this from his Rebbe, Rabbi Meir." There's also where a mayor responded to the Chachamim when Chachamim said that you'll divide up the anthill, right, and take your chances. So a mayor said you should know that suffik leket is leket. We mean 9 should suffik leket leket. Now we know that a suffik of leket is leket. Rav Shimon Nachman said b'shem Rabbi Yonasan Nesan name Rabbi Yonasan. It says oni v'rash hatziku. Poor people, destitute people, be matzik them, justify them. We learned that means that they came at Nosov, inclined towards him and giving him the gifts of leket shichon peah. So here you have it, right? Even though normally you say by dinim momentis there is no loch safik deraisa l'chumra, here there is a principle which overrides that, a pasuk which overrides that. Another possible pasuk, Rav Shimon Lagash Shem Bar Kapor says, lo satem mishpat evyon chol be'evrivo, do not incline towards a poor person in his litigation. But Rivo in Atamateh, you're not allowed to incline towards him in litigation. But when it's a question of giving him lekashim kampeh, in that case you're allowed to incline towards a poor individual. On Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, the kozako and how pure Rebbe is that which Rebbe taught us, the same principle for another pasuk, Ta'azov. It says, Loniva ger Ta'azov. And we learned Tazov means leave your own stuff in front of them, not just the minimum leket shechon peah. In a case of Sofek, you have to incline towards them. Amar Rabbi Law, Rabbi Law said, Ksiv, it says, Lagerlia som vamono, yeah, to the convert, to the orphan, to the widow, it shall be. Yeah means no matter what you can give him, whether it's his or yours, give it to him. So all these psukim are psukim which teach us that in suffik leket, be machmir and give it as leket. Okay? Says the Mishnah further, Hajjan aloha peani tennis. New perek, fifth perek. Gadi shalo lukat tachtov. There's interesting halacha here. You have, you piled up grain in your field. But the thing is, you, Russia, you piled up your grain where there was leket of an honey underneath. There was leket, forgotten stalks, which you were underneath the pile which you made. So, in this case, we fine you. Hare kol nogos parts of Rishon Aniyim. Any part of that pile of grain which touches the ground belongs to the Aniyim, which is far more than the strand or two of leket which was actually there to begin with. But since you shouldn't have put the pile there, therefore we find you would have to give the bottom layer of the entire pile to the poor people.
Assuming someone finds out about it.
Assuming someone, yeah. We're thinking about those drug launderers in New York, Dr. Spindell. All right. I have an extra one tonight. Actually, this is my cheat book I'm giving you, Baruch. This is my Kavanoki, brand new edition on paper. We're over here. Let me show you where we are. No, not over there. Sorry. Yeah, we just started this Mishnah. Okay, so Gadishulo Lukat, Tachtov, Kol Nogos Parts, everything which touches the land, the ground, that Arei Sho'anim. HaRuach Shepizor Samorim, what happens if wind scattered the sheaves and now you no longer know which were leket and which were not? Only Mosam Kama leket realize, so as we make a proportion of how much leket there would have been in this field, this specific field of Noisim Laniim, and give it to the poor people. There's a set ratio. You don't estimate each and every field by itself, but rather there's a set ratio which the Gemara will reveal to us. A set proportion of leket per X amount of land. So the Gemara asks the Kasha. Here in our Mishnah it says that we reckon how much leket it can make. When you give it to the Aniyim, that's the second case in the Mishnah where wind scattered it. Yet in the first case, Mishnah said, we don't make any reckoning or any estimate or any proportion. We just give the entire bottom of the pile to the Aniyim. We don't try and make it proportionate at all. Why the distinction? Do you have the place? You can't find it. So says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Like I told you already in the Mishnah. If Avishai Rehobot said, Knas Konsubo. The guy who made the pile, we don't make him the favor of estimating proportions. We fine him. Why? Because al shagad shagad shagabi lichtan shanim. What right did he have to make his pile of grain on top of where the leket was? Ad kedun mezid. And you might have thought this is only true where he's amazed at afilu shoge, even did it unintentionally afilu krichos, even if he put sheaves on. So one could tell this because leket is independent stalks. He put sheaves on, unless we make him give the bottom of all his sheaves to the oni. Afilu chita, even you could tell because he piled wheat on top of barley. He has to give all the wheat to the poor people. Afilu gotchi b'achem, and even other people made a pile in his field, chutz midaito, without asking him the baal bas. Afilu kol anim, and even if he called anim to come before he made this pile, v'lo bo, in all these cases, we find him nonetheless. Why? I think because of Safik Leket Leket. In other words, we always want to give inclined towards Daniim, and therefore here too, we find him, even though he wasn't malicious, but since he was negligent in some way, shape, or form, therefore we make him give the entire bottom layer of the pile, which he put where there's Leket underneath, to the poor people. Okay? Says more around now on the top of Chotei Amral, for those who have Gemara's which pagination. Rabbi Imi, B'shem, Rabbi Shimon Lakish said to Beis Shammai, our mission is going like Beis Shammai. Why is it going to Beis Shammai? Because of what's happening here. Rabbanan are saying you have to give the bottom of each of the pile you made to the poor people. And they did not say that the bottom of that pile is Chayv and Meiser. L'chora, if it was your grain previously, and then Rabbanan make you give it to Anim, Shaf the Meiser before you give it to them. Because it became chayv and meiser, right? You made a pile of grain, you were mimareach, the pile of grain on top of it. In that case, it's chayv and meiser, right? Even if you weren't mimareach it, I take that back. As long as it was a third grown, so later on, it became your grain, it's chayv and meiser. Later on, when the oni takes it home as mimareach it, you should have to give meisers off it, or you should have to give meisers before you give it to him. So it says the Gemara, this is quite like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai im hefker ani im hefker. It's here Chazal said, give it to the anim. So it's hefker lanim. It's not, you can't go to poor rich people, so it's not complete hefker. But according to Beis Hillel, although according to Beis Hillel, you need to have hefker, in order for hefker to work, it has to be hefker both for rich and poor. Where Beis Shammai is the concept of making something hefker only for the exclusive use of poor people. That's what's going on here. So therefore, according to Beis Shammai, you don't have to take meiser off of this grain which you're giving to the poor people. But you're right, Uke Beis Hillel, we're going like Beis Hillel, Aniim meiser v'ochlim, Aniim have to take meiser off this grain which they got as part of the fine before they eat it. Amalei Rabbi Yisrael Reza says, Na'ah, Shamanu, we heard Shupotim in our meisers, this grain is exempt from meisers, Divrei HaKol, according to everybody. Why is that? Shum Knas, because of a fine. Shehefker based in Hefker. Based in is right because of a fine to usurp your ownership. I should say, call it the right of eminent domain to a certain extent. They take away your ownership of your grain. And they make it Hefker. So now, the thing is like this. This is a very big chiddush which Yerushalmi is saying. Because they don't make it complete Hefker. They only make it available to Anim, not to Ashirim. But the fact that based in undermined your ownership is tantamount to hefker, and therefore you are exempt from giving maisus. Daniim are exempt from giving maisus. There's no maisus which applies here. Okay, it's a very big chiddush. Let's see that inside. Says more mishum divrei kol mishum knas shupat minayis divrei kol mishum knas shehefker based in hefker because hefker based in his hefker. They have the right to eminent domain your ownership away. The siva, as it says, b'chol asher liyovel shloshes yomim. It says in Ezra that anybody wouldn't come at the end of 3 days. Batzus Asarim Vizkenim, by the council of the elders and the leaders, Yocham Kol Ruchusha, all of his property will be seized. So that means the basin has the right to seize your property.
In the Bible, are you implying that the Bible, your hefker only means it's hefker to everyone?
No, this is a very big machlokas, and it's actually discussed in a certain very, very significant sefer, the Big Deshesh on Baba Basra. There's a big machlokas achronim, that's my sefer. There's a big machlokas achronim, whether one can where the hefker based in hefker can just undermine the ownership of the original owner or also direct the object to a new owner? Can it just take away or also be makne?
For some reason,
yeah,
it sticks in my mind and I cannot pinpoint the whole concept. It strikes me that concept of hefker based in hefker is just to remove the ownership rights of that particular person to the property.
That's the Marshal learns that after the Gemara in Yevamos. That's the first in the yeshivish circles. It's sort of the first Dvar Avram in the Tshuva Svar Avram discussed at great length. That's where everybody knows it from. It depends which pasuk we learn it from, because one pasuk which we learn Hefker based in Hefker is from Chalukas Haaretz, which is not the pasuk brought down here. And the pasuk here is talked about you losing your property in case you don't come to a gathering which the rabbis decreed. So the way the people understand it is that if we learn out from the pasuk of losing your property, which is this pasuk over here, so it's only based on, we don't see a right of basin to take away. If however we learn out from the pasuk which says that they divide up Eretz Yisrael, so that means they have the right to give it to people as well. So the thing is, one would have to say here, in order to still, the question is though, the Yerushalmi seems to be saying a very big chiddush here. The Yerushalmi is saying that even though the hefker based in hefker here, they didn't allow this hefker, they took it away from you, the owner. They didn't. It doesn't seem for the Yerushalmi that they actually gave ownership on it to the Aniyim. But they barred the Ashirim from taking it, because they said this is only accessible to Ashirim. So this is this Tanim. So this they took away from you, made it only accessible to Aniyim. Nonetheless, that's considered to be sufficiently Hefker in order to exempt it from Maisrus. Okay? So that's a very big chiddush, and the Yerushalmi has to prove that. Now the Yerushalmi is going to bring proof for that. And fascinating proof the Yerushalmi does bring.
Just as yes. An aside, this Gemara has Hefker, Laniyim, Hefker,
right.
The
Beis and the Pei are interchangeable.
In
Yerushalmi, very often it does say Hefker, more than in the Bavli, but Hefker means the same thing. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasan Bey, Rabbi Yitzchak Baracha, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. Uminayin Shupatim rises. How we know that that which is made hefker via the vehicle of hefker based in hefker is exempt from Maisrus? Rabbi Yenison Brei Rabbi Yitzchak Baracha Shamalu Amin Hado. He learned it out from here. Emal Yimes Hashana. You cannot make a year a leap year. Lo b'shvis, not during Shemitah, v'lo b'motzoi shvis, nor motzoi shvis. Why could you make a year a leap year during Shemitah? Humane reasons. Why not?
One extra month.
An extra month, you can't grow anything, right? Motzoi Shemitah either. Humane reasons. Why? More, a little bit more tricky, but should be able to figure it out. Why can't I make it a leap year? Add a month. Because Chodesh is going to be also another month. Because the leap month is Adar, right? So not going to be able to eat from the new crop until the Korban Omer is brought a month later. So that really stinks, right? They're going to be stuck, right? So therefore, you can't make Shemitah or Motzoi Shemitah leap year. What if Basin did it anyway? V'imavrua ha'reizimu beres. It's mubar. Hey, the Chodesh Echad Shumaisiv, the extra month, is a rabbinically ordained month. Lo potim mina maisers isn't exempt from maiser because it's a Shemitah year. So we see Rabbanon have the capacity to make things hefker and take away their chiv and maisrus. If they add a year to Shemitah year, the month to Shemitah year, they're adding a month in which there's an exemption from maisrus. It ever grows an exempt from maiser. So Rabbanon have the right, so he says Yerushalmi, to make things exempt from maiser. Do you like that drasha? Yerushalmi doesn't. You'll see in a minute. Why not? What's wrong with that drasha?
Get the right to make the Ibram of Chodesh.
Exactly, get it to Raisa. Right, it's not a rabbinic decree. It's a Torah-given privilege of Sanhedrin. Very good. Okay, not yet. We won't get there yet. In the meantime, Akidun Shvius. And we understand why Shemitah you shouldn't add on an extra month. Motzoi Shvitz Minayin Ayin, Motzoi Shvitz you shouldn't add an extra month. Amri Avlun Shalol Arbos Yitzel Chodesh, and not to have an extended Yitzel Chodesh. Rabbi Zira B'Shem Revo said, Chodeh the Tamar, all this that you're not allowed to extra month is at Shalol Yitzel Rebbe Lavi Yerek Mechutzaris, is before Rabbi Nasi allowed the Jews to import vegetables from Chutzlaritz. However, Avol Mishiyita Rebbe Lavi Yerek Mechutzaritz, once Rebbe allowed Jews to bring Yerek, vegetables, Chutzaritz, during Shemitah, Hishviyis Yishar Shnei Shavua, Zodot in Shemitah, and any other year of the seven, one can make any of them an Ibra Yor, a leap year. Originally, they didn't like bringing in vegetables from Chutzaritz because with the vegetables would come dirt. And we hold that dirt of Chutzaritz is Metame. But then, when times got tight, Rebbe started being matir to bring in vegetables. So once they started importing vegetables, there was little or no difference between whether you add in a month or not, since everybody knows the vegetables which grew in Chutzlaritz are cheaper than the stuff which grows in Eretz Yisrael. Still true in our day and age. So therefore, they at this point in time, later in history, you were allowed to add on an extra month, even to a Shemitah year, and you didn't have to worry about famine or such like. Don't bring it from Chile. Tani, Amabrin, we learned that which you learned also, you don't make leap years in Shemitah, Motzai Shemitah. Harder the Tamar, Birishonim, Shushonim, Kasidra. That's originally when there was a special brach on the sixth year. So then we said, you know, there was a special brach for the exact amount of months, not for the additional month. But now there's no proper brach on the sixth year anyway, for whatever reason. So he shvi's he shars neshavua. It makes no difference. You have to plan ahead, like Rebbe didn't bring vegetables and chutzlaritz anyway. So therefore, you can make a shemitah year and a Hebrew year as well. Tani, we learned shabes Rabban Gamliel of ruah motzoi shvi's miyad. That's Rabban Gamliel. In fact, in line with this sentiment, made an Ibra Yor the year after Shemitah, Motzoi Shvita, Shemitah, and they were not impressed by the previous Gemara. Rabbi Avin said, in Minador, in Atshma, Minaklum, if you want to bring a proof in there, there's no proof in there whatsoever. Like you said, Shamor is Chodesh Aviv. It says that the Sanhedrin is in charge, the Raisa. I'm making sure that Nisan comes out to be in spring. Pesach comes out to be in spring. Shomrei Yashiavol v'chidusho. Why make sure that Pesach comes in the new spring comes in the month of Nisan. So therefore, there's no raya from that case that Hefker Basin can exempt from Maisris, because there's a Torah given right for Chachamim to extend the year. It's not a rabbinic right they're exercising. Vaida Amrada. So therefore, what teaches us this principle? Only our Mishnah, which says Gadishlo Luka Tachta, where it says the case of a pile which was not the leket was not taken out from underneath, that there Chaim said hefker based in hefker, and the lowest level of that pile, the grain closest to the ground, all goes to Aniyim, and they don't have to miser it. And that, because there we had right, Monim said b'shem b'shem b'luggage to be shamay who to be shamay omri mefker Aniyim hefker, or according to be shamay hefker, which is only ten for Aniyim, can be hefker piram can be still Aniyim masrim ochlim, but going to be so the Aniyim have to take Meiser before they eat. And normally, Rabbi Yossi Shamanu Shupotim in a Meiser. Vivral Kol Mishum Knas. When Rabbi Yossi said that we heard it's exempt from Meiser, according to everybody, because of Knas, this is the Raya that Hefker based in Hefker can take away the Chiyuv of Meiseris. Our Mishnah is the proof of that principle. Okay? Period. New issue. Rabbi Bobashem Yochan said, Arbas Kabin Lakur. What is the ratio, the standard ratio? Rabban Gamliel said in our Mishnah, Rishon Gamliel said, there's a standard ratio of foliage by which one measures universally all fields in the world. What is that standard ratio? Four kab falls out of a kur. So ask the Gemara, is that boy, Rabbi Zera, boy, kum, Rabbi Arba kabin lakur is four kabin out of the produce of a kor, or four kabin the base kor for an area which you plant the kor. Obviously, now when you plant the kura, you're going to get much more than a kura of produce, right? So is the four kabin from the planted seeds or four kabin from the produce of a kura? It's a significant difference between the two. Four kabin from the produce of a kura is a far greater ratio, far more significant ratio than four kabin from an area in which you plant the kura. Okay? Because you produce several kura in eventually that area. Says Gemara, but on my lace, he said the base kura, the area in which you plant the kura. Tamontini, we learned over there, Om Rabbi David said, Ma kitzma bikri, what is the minimal amount in produce where a sharecropper must tend to his duties? In other words, you have a sharecropper, an oris, and your land is lousy, and it doesn't grow very much at all. And the sharecropper says, you know what, I don't want to work this land, I'm going to suffer a loss working this land. But a contract is a contract. Up to what point do we require the sharecropper to work your land? So as long as he can produce enough seed to replant it, that's the shear. And that's called kidei nefila there, which obviously is a different meaning of kidei nefila than ours over here. Our meaning of kidei nefila is how much gray, how many stalks will fall out of your hands when you're doing the leket on the field. There, kidei nefila means how much grain is necessary in order to replant the field another time. Okay, so says what is the minimum amount which we force the guy to work on in order to achieve a harvest? If he's a sharecropper, as if there's enough in order to fall, enough in order to cast down in order to replant it. And here you say, what does kedei nefila mean? Something else altogether. The proportion of leket which will come from your field. From your court. Well, so obviously it means two different things. The Yerushalmi never addresses how it can mean two different things in two different places. Well, Maisa, it's not such a big kasha. Obviously, the Yerushalmi didn't feel necessary to address it for a reason. There can be a kedei nefila, might be a term which has one meaning here and pay another meaning in Bo Metzia, big deal. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Shibola Shibakotir. You have a case where you have a stalk. Everybody say, you have a case like this. I have. Here. You have a bunch of cuts here, standing grain over here. You have one stalk standing over here which you forgot to harvest. Okay? Everybody see the case? So it says you the Bavli, the Mishnah. Shibolas shibakotzir. You have a shibolas around which you've already harvested. But you bend it down so its head can reach over here where the standing grain still is. Okay? If you can bend it down and then harvest together with the rest of the grain, the Baal Bayis gets to keep it. If, however, enough space has developed between the one you forgot and these, so then becomes anim. Even though leket is normally not what you left standing in the field, rather what slipped out of your hand, and once you pass too far away from this, that's already also considered to be a din of leket.
Why isn't it shikha?
You're right. That makes it a shikha. I apologize. Scratch what I just said from the record. Delete that. Okay. That's what makes a shikha, right? In excess of combination of abayis, if it's harvested with that which is standing, still remains belongs to the owner. If you have not a reishal anim, shibolah shaleket. If you have a stalk full of leket, shenisavra because it got mixed into a pile of stuff which is your own harvest. Meiser shibolah achas v'nosilo. You're going to have to take meiser of one grain and give it to the oni. Because you have to give him a grain, that's how much you owe him. One grain of shalekah got mixed into your pile. But you don't know if that's the one which was coming to that oni, so if you have to miser it before you give it to him. So how can the oni agree to such an exchange for leke which never actually reaches possession? El mezakas oni b'chol gadish. So Rebbeleza says, you have to give the oni the whole gadish. Says the Bnei Moshe, the other Mefarshim, as a matzon on Manas Lahachzir, which is okay. That works. give them as a gift on the condition that he gives it back. That way you fulfilled your obligation to give that grain of lechem wherever it is in the pile. Once he gives you back the whole pile, then Maisa Shibos Achas Menoisin. Then you Maisa one stalk and you give it to him. Okay? And the Rishonim will go into this in the Gemara in greater detail. Says the Gemara in the meantime, Ezui Koma, what standing grain? Now we're in Chof Hema Beis. Ezui Koma, Shimatzela Ses Akoma. What's a case where you have grain, which is standing, which saves other grain which is standing? This case. Rabbi Yochanan says, like we learned in our Mishnah, Shibola Shokatzir, you have a stalk which is standing in a place where they already harvested all around it. For Rosh Magil Koma, but its head reaches the place where there's still a whole clump of standing grain which has not yet been harvested. In this case, the Koma saves the other Koma. Rabbi Yochanan says, the case we're talking about is a case even where it's surrounded by harvested grain. In other words, the immediate vicinity of that stalk has been harvested already. Nonetheless, as long as it be bent over and reach the standing stuff, you're okay. As long as its head can reach the head of that which is still standing.
If you take both of them and you build them down together, does that mean the same?
You take what?
Last one.
No, it can't be that. It has to be that it can be associated with this clump. So therefore, you were just able to bend this down and be in the middle. I don't think it would work. It's just my guess, but that's my guess.
You get twice the distance.
Yeah, then you would get twice the distance. That's why I don't think it works. But that's just my hunch. I could be wrong about that. So Sazmar, Vushatei Choli Kotzer Makoma. What if it could be harvested with the standing stuff? But you can harvest the standing stuff with it. So, in other words, I guess it was longer. So it had enough room to bend over here. But you couldn't bend the stuff which is standing over here over to it. So, nitzolos. It's still safe. Hayushtein. What if you had two of them? In other words, here there were two stalks. Look over here, Rabbi Isai. You had two stalks. This stalk could be bent down and reach, but this stalk cannot. Okay? Mm-hmm. So in that case, Pnimis Yicholi Kotzer Makom, the inner one can be harvested with the standing stuff. Ve'enachitzon Yicholi Kotzer Makom, but not the outer one. Hapnimis Nitzolas, the inner one is saved. Umatzelos, and it saves you the outer one as well. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, "Romesa yisi zezim." I was harvesting olives. Im Rabbi Chia Godo with Rabbi Chia the Great.
See that the Chazal were kibbutzniks. See, he was working here in the fields. Rabbi Yeshua is harvesting olives together for Rabbi Chia. Interesting, huh?
Vamali, and he said to me, if you forgot an olive, but you're not that far away, then you cannot reach up your hand and get it. In other words, if you reach up your hand from where you're standing, you'll get it. So that's still within arm's reach, literally. In that case, Eino Shichot, it's not Shichot, and you can gather it. Rabbi Yochanan said, no. Mikay Machavar Lava Shachacha Raisa Shichot. Once you passed over and you forgot it, that is considered to be Shichot. Even if you can still within arm's reach. Masnisa pliga Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Oshaya. Oshia. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yoshua. What does it say there? Is she boles shokotzi evarosh magila koma? In our Mishnah it says that in this case, which I drew for you,
the stalks.
As long as this stalk can bend over each there, even if it's much further than arm's length. So we see this is a leniency, actually. This is much further than arm's length away. Nonetheless, as long as it can be bent over and reach over here, it's okay. Okay? So there's a greater leniency than Rabbi Yoshua said by the olives.
Yeah, if you can't, then the poor guy can get it.
No, the poor guy gets it, right.
Okay.
Rabbi Lo B'Shem Rabbi Yoshua said, B'oman Sheni Shanu. No. Says Rabbi Yoshua, that's different. Rabbi Yoshua says, this is all in the same row. Since it's in the same row, so therefore it saves it.
Oh, let me just make sure I'm translating this correctly. Uh,
Well, Rabbi, let me translate and I make sure I get it correct. Rabbi Lav said b'shem Rabbi Yosheb, but Oman Chenishar, this is where it's a different row. If it's in a different row, so then, yeah, if it's in a different row, I think it has to be at arm's length. I think this is what the way to translate it. If it's in the same row, they're not arguing. If it's in the same row, you get a longer distance, the distance of the amount you can bend the stalk down. If it's in a different row, that's if it's in the same row. However, it's in a different row, in other words, here's the standing stuff. And further, kind of at the diagonal over here, is the stuff which is already surrounded by harvest. So then all you get is an arm's length, no more. And the olives, since they don't grow in rows, so therefore all you get is always an arm's length between clusters of olives on the tree. So again, this kula, where as long as it can bend over to reach the standing stalk, you can still harvest it. That's only where it's in the same furrow, growing in the same row. Okay? Now the Gemara gets a little bit complicated. You have a different girsa on that Gemara than we have over here in our Gemara. And again, as I say, it gets a little bit complicated, but with some draw, with some diagrams, it should be okay. Says the Gemara, Dover Shuroi Lahatsu, something which is suitable to save, the Shachro, and you forgot it. Maushi Asir Shikha. In other words, the case, our case over here. This is saved. It was close enough. Then you harvested this and forgot it anyway. In other words, it was saved. You made due note of that. And then you continued to harvest. Now you harvested all of this. This is left standing. Can you go back and harvest it now? That's what Moore is asking.
Essentially, you forgot it twice.
But you, once you saw it, though, you had in your mind.
That's the question. That's exactly the question. Once you saw it and had in mind. Right. Does the Machshava count, and is it saved for good, or is it not saved for good? Okay? So it says right here, because the second time you forgot it, you didn't forget it, right? You.
It's a new scenario.
Right, it's a new scenario. It's hard for me to perhaps put it into precise terms. It's not an active forgetfulness. It's just an oversight. That's what I'm saying. So, which is suitable to save, let's hear from the following case. Now we're talking about leket, right? And you have three rows. Yeah, three sheaves. One, two, three. You gather the three. Shalazmi, then you forgot the fourth one. You forgot the fourth sheaf. So then, istani tani, there are two brises about what happens when you forgot the fourth sheaf. Some say, if you take the fifth one, skip the fourth and take the fifth, I raise a shikha, then the fourth one is shikha, it's forgotten, right? Some say, im shor litos hachamishis, even if you didn't take the fifth, if enough time elapsed that he could have taken the fifth, I raise the shikha, and then the fourth one is forgotten. And they don't argue. Amar Rabbi Bun Rabbi Chia, madamar notos hachamishis, he who said that when does the fourth one become shikha, when you took the fifth one, kshiyesham shishis, when there's a sixth one there. The opinion which says that it's enough time elapsed that he could have taken the fifth one is kishain sham shishis, when there's no sixth one there. Now, what does that mean? So now we have to know one principle here. The first one in a row is never shikha. Even if you forgot, you can go back and take it. That's what we'll see later in the Masechta. What's the minimum share of a row? Take a wild guess. What would be the minimum share of a row? Boo, boo, boo. Geometrically, three is a row. Three things in a row constitute a row. But three is always in Chazal. Three is always a minimum of a crowd. So a row is like a crowd, as opposed to a group. Anyway, let's take that as an axiom in the moment. Even if you don't like it, let's take it as an axiom. So look, if you have six, say he says if you have six, then actually you can look at this as two rows of three. So the fourth one should never be shikha. Right? Because it'd be one, two, three, one, two, it's the second, it's the first of the second row. So therefore he says,
even though they were all lined up.
Even though they're all lined up, right? That's not material. Because once you collect the first three, now you have a new row of three from the remainder. So says the Yerushalmi, in this case, if you have six, when could the fourth become shikha? If you have six, it's only become shikha when you actually take the fifth. When you take the fifth one. Because when you take the fifth one, so then that indicates that you're ready, you're not considering to be a separate row, right? Because you continue harvesting straight through, and the fourth one is shikha. Okay? Again, if there are six there, you harvested the first three and forgot the fourth, it only becomes shikha when you continue harvesting the row and then take the fifth. Because then that shows you're not considering to be two rows of three, but rather one row of six.
Why is it not considered two rows of three? You took the first group of three.
Because you continued on.
You didn't stop.
You didn't stop. You continued on. Now, if you only have five, so when does the fourth one, then there aren't two rows of bichlal. There's nothing to talk about two rows. In that case, when does the fourth become shikha? When enough time has elapsed for you to have taken the fifth, even if you didn't actually take it, because that's already considered to be forgetting, which is of course moments. That's already considered to be forgetting. Again, when there's six, so then the fourth one can be considered to be the first of a new row. The fourth one is not considered to be forgotten until you take the fifth, and that shows that you consider one long row. Otherwise, it can stay there for weeks and not become shikha, leket, a shikha. If, however, there are only five sheaves, and in that case, you forgot the fourth, the moment enough time has elapsed that he could have taken the fifth, so in that case, already becomes the fourth one becomes shikha. Why? Because it wasn't a separate row. Come shikha the moment it's forgotten, which is only moments after you left it there inadvertently. Okay, you see that distinction?
So what's the time limit? Shalom Aleichem Mori Rabbi?
Toktei Dibur. A very short amount of time, yeah. Now a little bit more in Toktei Dibur probably, but you know, a few seconds. Less than a minute, certainly.
And if you have that...
God. Yeah.
If you have the same period of time between harvesting the first three and the starting to harvest the second.
No, that won't... He said become shikha when you take the fifth, when there's a sixth one, because then the fourth one is considered to be the beginning of a row until such time as you actually make the fifth and sixth part of the first row, right? The one who says when enough time has elapsed for you to have taken the fifth, theoretically, which is moments, change from Jesus when there is no sixth one. Now, so what are we talking about here? If it's a case where you haven't yet taken the fifth one, you just that enough time has elapsed. Isn't there enough time for you to look at the fourth one as part and parcel of the row? Just want to make sure I get this right. In the case where there are six, and he took the fifth, why does the fourth now become shikha retroactively? L'chora was saved when it became a Rosh Shura. It should have been saved permanently, asked the Gemara. Was that your question? In that case, it should have been saved permanently. It shouldn't be considered to be revert to being part and parcel of the first row. In other words, let's look at it permanently as being two rows of three. Why does it revert to being the fourth one in a row of six? So it says, Gemara, from this we conclude that Hadamra Davishu Roy Latzil Vishalcho, even though originally it was suitable to be saved, because it could have been considered to be a new row. Once Shachicho, once you forget it again, by going out to the fifth and continuing the row, Harezu Shicho, it's considered to be Shicho. So in other words, this saving grace, which this one had originally, it can lose again when you harvest this, all the rest of the crop and take it away. At that point, the save, which you had on this, goes away. So to here, says the Gemara, the raya for that is this case over here, because where it says you had six, so and you did 1, 2, 3, forgot the fourth. When you go, even though now there's no forgetfulness on the fourth, as long as you didn't take the fifth, the fourth is not considered forgotten because it's a rosh shura, so went through a save. When you start harvesting the fifth again, retroactively the fourth becomes lost, it becomes shikha. So we see here that the saving grace which it once had, it can lose subsequently. Okay, that's the Gemara's conclusion. Now the Gemara goes on to another issue. Says the Gemara, related. Darvashu roi lahatzil v'shachal. What happens if this saved this? The kama saved that stalk over here. And now you forgot the kama. You continue harvesting and forgot this clump. So does this become shikha? In other words, you used it as this was the saved. This was the saved yur. Not to bring in other religions. But what happens if you forget? Now we've said that which was saved can be forgotten subsequently. What happens if the savior you now forget? Okay?
Well, that's an independent forgetfulness. That's not forgetting the same thing twice, like the first case.
Yes, it's independent forgetfulness. So it's a new forgetfulness.
Yeah. It should be shikra.
Right. Well, that's okay. Tomorrow's going to say that, but tomorrow's going to bring a riot for it. Nishmina min ador. Let's learn it from the following case. And now we're on the top of Chot Vav Amid Aleph. Now, the halacha is that if you forgot two sa'ah of grain, that's not shicha. It's too large a measure to forget. And if you forget that much, it's not shicha, you're a klutz. Okay? So if you forget two sa'ah of grain, it's not considered to be shicha. What if sa'ah tvua akura? The saw shein akura. You have two saws, a saw asaim, one of which is grain which has already been harvested, the other is grain which is not harvested. So then we say that in that case, it does save it. Set for a kura v'seishein akura. No, it doesn't save it. It doesn't save it. It doesn't save it. So says the Gemara Vitatzil, in other words, it's not considered to be Sarsayim, and it is considered to be forgotten. The stuff which is standing is considered to be forgotten. Vitatzil Akura Esha'ein Akura. Let that which is uprooted say that which is not uprooted. Hadam Ras teaches us Davashiroy Lahatsu Vishakh, something which could have been a savior and was forgotten. I don't remember the case exactly. Let me just reconstruct it in my mind here. Okay, this is the case. Case like this. If you have grain, which is standing, you have two saws, one of which is standing, one of which is cut. So the halacha is that the Yerushalmi is bringing it all down in short form. So I have to expand on the case. So I looked at the Ridbaz now to remind me what the case is. If you have a saw which is cut, and saw which is not cut, so the saw which is not cut joins with the saw which is cut to prevent the cut stuff from becoming shikha. But not vice versa. If you forgot, if the saw which is cut does not join with the stuff which is not cut to save it. Okay, so if the forgotten stuff, the stuff he forgot, is the cut stuff, so the not cut stuff joins up with that and makes a sign, and the cut stuff is not considered b'shichcha. But if the forgotten stuff is the stuff which is standing, then the stuff which is cut doesn't join up with it in order to save it from being shichcha. So the Yushami says here, what do we see from here? We see even the Savior, the standing grain, which saves the cut grain, cannot be saved by the saved. Once the, well, if you forgot that grain which was standing, which was initially your Savior, then subsequently becomes shichcha. Okay? So here we see that the standing grain, which was originally the Savior, once it's forgotten, tough luck, that which is saved cannot retroactively turn around and save its Savior. Okay? So that's what Gemara says. So that's for our conversation. And I'm reading again. Just like that which is standing saves that which is cut. Let that which is cut save which is that it's standing, and it cannot do it. This is the Savior, the Shachar, once it's forgotten, raises Shikha, it's considered a Shikha. Rabbi Om, Rabbi Om, Rabbi said, Tipater, for, learn it differently. Hakaitzer Shura, Umaamer Shura, this is talking about perhaps a different case, where you harvested one row, and you, you harvested one row, and you, and you were bundling another row, and you forgot the comma before you forgot the sheaves. What he means to say is that you have again two rows. In this, I'm drawing a bird's eye view now, and then I'll hold it up. You have two rows. In this row, you forgot standing grain. Before you made bundles over here, standing grain, bundles. So you forgot the standing grain before you made bundles. Says Rabbi Yonah, it might well be that if in the same row you have bundle grain, in other words, harvested grain, and standing grain, that the harvested grain turns around and saves. The harvest of ground, the grain does join together with the non-harvested grain to make up a sasayim and save it from the parish of Shikha. Here we're talking about a case where this grain was forgotten before you made bundles of this. And then you forgot this. So now, there are two stages of forgetfulness. The forgetfulness on this came first, before you forgot this. Then you made sheaves of this and forgot this. This can't join back up now, since it happened in two stages. Where does it join together in order to make us a sign where they're forgotten at the same time or in the same row? So therefore, perhaps here says Rabbi Yonah, this is a special case. Perhaps normally, that which was saved could turn around and save the Savior. Here, however, the reason why that which is saved cannot save the Savior is because it happened at different stages in the harvest. Let's see that inside again. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Dipater, say it's saved by the following case: Hakoitzer Shura, you harvested a row, Umaamer Shura, and you are now bundling that row. V'shparshokach as a comma, but you already forgot another row. Actually, Yishka Amarim before you forgot this row, which has the bundles in it, and therefore there's no way." That they can join together because by the time you made the bundles and forgot them in the second row, you already forgotten the other row previously, and therefore there's no way for it retroactively to join up.
Is it a general principle whatever's been cut can still be saved but cannot save it?
Unless you forget both together. That's what Rabbi Yonah is saying. He's saying if you forgot simultaneously stuff which is standing and stuff which is harvested, then they can join together and make so sign. But if you forgot it in stages, then it can't join together and make so sign. Okay, that's the end of the hard part. No, let's go on now to some easy part. Okay, so getting back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, let's just go a little bit further. Okay, so our Mishnah said that if, do you mind going another 5 minutes?
Your mother's not here tonight, right?
No.
It's 9 o'clock.
Oh, fine.
Okay. So our Mishnah said that if you want, you lost a piece of leket in your pile, so you have to give the Ani a piece of leket, but you won't know if it's the leket you're actually giving him. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says, yeah, the Mishnah said that you have to miser a piece of grain and give it to him, right? Give miser a piece of grain and then give it to him, lest the piece you're giving him is one which is chayiv and miser. So says the Gemara, okay, so what do you do? Maybe Shteishi Bolim, you bring two stalks. Vayimei says, im leket, if this one which I'm giving you is the leket, fine. I raise the yofet, fine and good. It's not chayiv and miser. V'ilav, if it's not the leket, harei maser seh kvuim bezu, I give its miser from the second stalk which I'm holding, v'noisa v'sarishor, and I give the ani the first one. The Chash Loimar says, Gemara, that won't work. You have to be suspicious. Maybe the second one is the leket one, and you can't make that meiser. In other words, maybe you're really in bad luck, and maybe the one you're about to give him is one which is chayv meiser. And the one which you're trying to make the meiser on that one is the leket one. So you're ending up being completely off base. You're giving one which is chayv and meisers, and your meiser didn't take effect because you tried to meiser one which turned out to be leket. So that can't work. It can't be like this. Ella, so what do you do? So I'm Rabbi Yoina. Rabbi Yoina said, maybe Shteishi Bolim. You have three stalks altogether. The one you give him and two more. Right? Voyman, you say, im leketi, if I'm giving you leket, I raise the offer, everything is well and good. Vim lav, and if not, hare maises kvim bezu, let the maises be in one of these two. Not specifically in one, but whichever one is not leket. Vinoisin lo esel chasmini, give him the first one. Ravo b'shem, Rabbi Shem ben Lakish says, to Rabbi Yossi, our mission is Rabbi Yossi. Know what Rabbi Yossi holds? To Tanina Tamon, we learned over there, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kosha Khalifa Biad Kohen. This is a case in Bukhoris is like this. I have a case where I have a suffix Bukhor. I'm not sure which of my two animals is a Bukhor. I give the Kohen one of them. The shayla is, do I have to give from the other animal, which I keep for myself, the Zrol Chayim and Keva to the Kohen? Because maybe it's a Chulin animal. Maybe the animal I kept is Chulin. And a Chulin animal is Chayiv. I have to give, when I slaughter a Chulin animal, I have to give the tongue, the cheek, and a whole bunch of other parts, shoulder to the Kohen. No, not the shoulder and chest. Zroa is the arm. L'chayayim is the cheeks, and keva is the stomach. You're thinking chazer shok by a carbon. The shoulder, the that's different. That's by a carbon. So here, I should have to give the question. We have to give the coin. Zroa l'chayayim and keva misafik. And the Rabbi Yossi's opinion is no. As since the coin got something here. Khalifa, either the Bukhor or something instead of the Bukhor, so therefore I don't have to give him anything else. I don't have to give him his Zerol Chaim and Keva. He got something here in the deal, therefore I don't have to give him his Zerol Chaim and Keva. So to here says Shem Rabbi Shem Elokish, Rabbi Yossi, our mission is going to Rabbi Yossi. Did see it? I've only learned over there. Rabbi Yossi, Merakosha, Khalifa, Biat Kohen, Pachamina Matonos is exempt from Matonos. Rai Meir Machayev. Her mayor says you have to give the Matonos anyway. So here, too, we say that Rabbi Elezer said, hey, how can I keep the pile for myself and give it one stalk? Maybe I'm keeping leket. So Rabbi Elezer said, I have to be mezakeh my entire pile to the Ani. I give it as a maton, I'm going to ask the ox here, but I have to give my entire pile. Well, how does Tanakama argue that? Tanakama is like Rabbi Yossi. Just like Rabbi Yossi said, anytime the Kohen got something, you don't have to give this Rol Chaim and Keva. So here, the Ani got something. He got either the leket, when he gave him that one stalk, he got either the leket or the chalifin of a leket. So that's all. You don't have to give him anything else. That's sufficient. You don't have to give him the leket itself, as long as you give him the exchange thereof. That's the opinion of Rabbanan, who argued Rabbi Elazar, say you don't have to give him the whole pile. Okay? Amar Rabbi Ba, Rabbi Ba said, did Rabbi Yesi tzorich lizkoso lekoe? No, says Rabbi Ba, even going to Rabbi Yossi, you have to give to the Kohen, you have to give him, you have to be mocked at him, Zuzrol Chaim Kev, you might not have to give it to him, but you have to be mocked at him. Amar Rabbi Yossi, the Amora said, Hodad Rabbi Ba, that which Rabbi Ba said, in the name of Rabbi Yossi the Tana, the Yati Mazakir the Kohen, the Zrol Chaim Kev, Pligi had the Rabbi Shtuish Lakish. It's argues that Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Shimon Lakish says, you don't have to. He said, Kosh Khalifa Biat Kohen, you don't have to be mocked it in the Zrol Chaim and Keva, and in our case, you don't have to be mocked at the Leket. The Tanina Taman, we learned over there, Elam Zakis Ani Bechla Godish, only according to Rabbi Eliezer. Do you have to give the Ani the entire pile? As the matonim and aslachs here, umaisim shibos achas v'noisin lo. I'm a Rabbi Ba. Rabbi Ba said, "This is the word Rabbi Shlokich argues on." Did Rabbi Yossi tzorach lezakoso lekohen? That according to Rabbi Yossi as well, you have to be mazaka to the kohen. Have a lace hood, Rabbi Yossi. So it comes out that this opinion of Rabbi Ba in the name of Rabbi Yossi is not going like Rabbanan in our Mishnah, but like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Now, the language here is convoluted, so I'll just say it outside in order to make it clear. Reish Lakish said that Rabbanan in our Mishnah hold like Rabbi Yossi over there. Rabbi Yossi over there holds Kol Shechaliv Yad Kohen, you don't have to give Zerol. Here too, Rabbanan hold, you don't have to give the whole pile, you give him one grain, that's Chalife Leket, it's good enough as if you gave him the Leket. Along comes here Rabbi Ba in the name of Rabbi Yossi, and he argues. And he says, even according to Rabbi Yossi over there in Bechiris, you have to be mezaka to the Kohen, the Zerol Chaim and Keva, in the animal to retain. And so to here, Rabbi Yossi would therefore hold like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds you have to be mezaka to the Oni, the entire pile. As Matan Amanas Lachzir. You get to keep it afterwards. After you give it to him, you get to take it back. Because all he really deserves is one stalk. But since you don't know which is which, so therefore you have to give him, as a matonah manas lachzir, the whole pile. Okay, that is in line with what Rabbi Ba scribes from Yossi over there, that you have to officially at least give the Zerol Chaim and Keva to the Kohen. So it's machlokas for Shlokish and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Ba, how to understand according to Rabbi Yossi, Kosher Khalifa Biat Kohen, does that exempt you from any Zerol Chaim and Keva whatsoever, or do you still have to give it at least as a matonah manas lachzir? And so too the question is, who would Rabbi Yossi hold like in our Mishnah? Would you hold like Tanakama, that all you give is one stalk? Or would you hold that you have to be mezaka the entire pile, at least as a formality, as Rabbi Eliezer says?
There's a difference though, because there the Kohen deserves at least one animal, and from the other animal, the whatever it is, he deserves the Zerol Chaim.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the Oni only deserves one stalk, regardless of whether that stalk is mixed in with 100 stalks or 2 stalks.
Yeah, they're right. There is a difference between the cases. That's true. That's true. Rabbi Yossi, right. There is a difference between the cases. Well, there are pnei moshe discussing that there should be that difference, but let's not get into that now. But you're right. There is a difference between the cases, and the Mefarshim pointed out. Amar Rabbi Mana, you know what? It's late here. We'll leave Rabbi Mana for tomorrow. Rabbi Mana discusses it further. We'll come back to this tomorrow.